When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
In Georgia, a convicted child molester is given life with no parole, is released from prison on a technicality, and be a free man soon. In Maryland, a woman is shocked after her ex-boyfriend is arrested after the murdering of her mother 23 years ago. And Russia opens up a terror probe after attacks on churches leading to multiple deaths. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, June 26th on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton. And it's hump day again.
It is hump day.
And hot AF.
Still. Right?
Still hot.
I'm ready for October.
Yeah, right.
Football, football season.
Yeah.
And I miss football.
It's all coming. It's only 2 months away.
Yeah, seems like a lifetime. Yeah, I
know. It will be a lifetime of hot ass weather.
It's my favorite time of the year.
And that, and you know, we're not going to say the H word, but it's that season.
Yes.
And God,
maybe we'll dodge those bullets again. Right? We've been fortunate the last few years.
Very, very, super fortunate, and super fortunate to be here in America, where we can talk about whatever we want to talk about, and let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
We're going to start off in the state of Georgia. All right, so last week, Justin Ross Harris was actually freed from Macon State Prison. He had been serving a 10-year sentence for sex crimes against a child. His sentence began in December of 2016. Now, following his release, Harris was transferred to Cobb County Jail, where he could serve the last 2 years of that sentence. On June 18th of 2014, Harris's 22-month-old son Cooper died of hypothermia after spending 7 hours buckled in his rear-facing car seat in the back of an SUV parked outside his father's place of business. His work, he actually worked at the Home Depot corporate office. Wow. So usually here it's a hot car. Right, in this case, it was apparently a cold car. Yeah. He had taken Cooper to breakfast that morning and then neglected to drop the toddler off at his daycare, instead driving to his job. Hours later, Harris discovered his son's lifeless body in the back of that SUV. During the trial, prosecutors argued that Harris killed his son intentionally so he could be free to have sex with as many women as possible.
Oh, God.
They also claimed he exchanged sexual text messages with 6 different people, including a 16-year-old girl, on the day that his son died. Harris's defense team contended that Cooper's death was a tragic accident and that Harris did not intend to kill his young son. So, in November of 2016, Harris was convicted of his son's murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison, no parole, plus 32 years. However, that conviction got overturned in 2022 following a 6-3 ruling by the Supreme Court in Georgia, which found the majority of the evidence presented was needlessly cumulative and prejudicial and should have been excluded from trial. Inadmissible evidence can lead juries to a wrongful conviction of an innocent person, that from the defense attorney, Carlos Rodriguez. Now, Cobb County prosecutors announced in 2023 that Harris would not be retried in the murder case. crucial motive evidence that was admitted at the first trial is no longer available to the state due to the majority decision of the Supreme Court, that from the Cobb County District Attorney's Office. Harris's ex-wife and mother to their son, Leanna Taylor, spoke out after his murder conviction, saying that he was a loving and proud father who simultaneously was a terrible husband. So she obviously was on his side saying, I don't think he intentionally murdered our child, but he wasn't the best husband. Yeah. He was obviously cheating on her or attempting to do it. You know, this is a, to me, I rarely come across cases where you have a life in prison with no possibility of parole. It gets essentially it gets bargained down off of a technicality, and they don't attempt to retry it.
Yeah, I think that they, like, whatever evidence that they had that the Supreme Court said needed to be excluded. It's probably like the shit about the sexting and all that when the kid was in the car. They were like, you know, that's, any jury is going to want to make somebody pay for that, take that out, and just try him on the fact that he left him in a car. And then it would have been a negligent homicide, just where such a reasonable person wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, leave your kid in the car.
And he had obviously, in addition to that murder, he was serving a sentence for sex crimes with a juvenile. Right. And I saw a lot of people online were curious as to why he was just transferred to another prison and not released. Well, he has to serve out the rest of that 10-year sentence that he had for the other crime, for the sex crime. Yeah. And usually when they get transferred to jail, they're putting them in some kind of work release thing. Right. They're trying to acclimate them back into society, I would assume.
Yeah. And it may have done it so he could be closer to his wife or whatever. And that may have been part of them not retrying him or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, he killed his kid.
Yeah.
That's the first one I've ever heard that was by hypothermia.
Yeah. I'm sure it happens, but I haven't.
And it doesn't even have to be that cold. I mean, it could have been in the high 40s or something, and the kid just wasn't boned up enough. And over several hours, when your body temperature drops below 70 or whatever it is, then you just fall asleep and die.
Yeah, and it's different than when you die of, like, heat exhaustion in that you just get really tired and you go to sleep.
Yeah, it doesn't make it suck any less, right?
Yeah,
and
no.
The kid was needlessly murdered, and he's a sex offender and everything else, and guess what? He'll get out, and I'm sure he'll continue to be an asshole, and they'll get him something else. So, I don't know. You and I are both huge fans of history. Russia, who has more history than Russia, right?
However
many years. And I know what's going on with the war and all that shit now, but historically, Russia's just fucking some pretty tough people.
Yeah.
Like during World War II, when Germany invaded them, Hitler, broke the pact with them and invaded them, and they went in. The Russians didn't even have enough rifles to give everybody. So they have one person that was assigned a rifle, the other person carried the bullets, and when the person with the rifle got killed, that person picked up the rifle and kept going on.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they turned the tide and did whatever. I'm not saying Russia's right and then the Cold War and all that shit. Nothing about that. They're just saying they have a long history.
They're tough people.
Tough people. And a long history of a melting pot and of people. But let me tell you what happened. In Russia, gunmen opened fire on two synagogues and two Orthodox churches and a police post in Russia's North Caucasus region of Dagestan on Sunday. Now, the investigative committee of the Russian Federation opened a terrorism investigation in response to the armed attacks in Derbent and Makhachkala, as a result of which police officers and civilians were killed and injured.
Wow.
Right? Shamil Kodlev, chairman of the Public Monitoring Commission of Dagestan, said a 66-year-old priest was found with his throat slashed at an Orthodox church, right? And at least two police officers were also killed. And this, according to news agencies in Russia, and they quoted the Russian Interior Ministry as saying, at least six people were wounded, right? And now, the Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs released a statement confirming that a combined attack in the two cities in Dagestan, I just told you about, and that's because the synagogues that were attacked.
Sure.
Right? The being of Jewish people. The synagogue in Durban was set on fire and burned to the ground, and the local guards were killed. Now, the synagogue in Makhachkala was attacked by gunfire, but there were no further details. And at the same time, churches were attacked in Makhachkala, however you say it. It's Makhachkala, and a priest was murdered in Durban. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as it's known, there were no worshipers in the synagogues at the time of the attack, and there are no known casualties from among the Jewish community. The Israeli embassy in Moscow is in contact with leaders of the Jewish community in the district, but videos circulated online showing the building set on fire and gunmen engaging in shootouts with the police.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a camera. The Reuters, the news agency, citing unspecified reports, said one officer was killed when shots were fired at a synagogue in Durban, which is home to an ancient Jewish community in North Caucasus. Gunfire was also reportedly exchanged in an Orthodox church in the town that I can't remember what the synonym stands for, but it's a national organization, but it's a UNESCO heritage site. But another shootout was reported at a police post in Makhachkala, about 75 miles to the north along the Caspian Sea and the main city in Dagestan, which is a mainly Muslim region.
Yes.
So they're killing them all.
That's what I was about to say.
And that's in southern Russia, right?
Yep.
So the Sergei Melikov, who's Vladimir Putin's appointed head of Dagestan, said unknown persons in Durban and Makhachkala attempted to destabilize the social situation, right? Then at this time, no specific group has claimed the responsibility for it. But, it's no such thing as a coincidence.
No.
You're going to attack these synagogues and Orthodox churches and everything and at one time. It's got to be terror related.
Well, let me tell you, Dagestan and I know a little bit about it because I'm a big UFC fan, and right. A guy by the name of Khabib Nurmagomedov. Really? You like that? Yeah, Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was probably one of the best fighters in UFC history. Beat the shit out of Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But he was from Dagestan.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you want to talk about a tough region of the world?
I bet.
You'll learn how to fight real quick, and you'll learn how to survive real quick. But he was Muslim,
yeah,
and a stout Muslim. He did not drink.
Right.
He did, Khabib was no joke. And I'm going to tell you, tough people over there, and whoever did that better be the hell out of there now, because they will pull their toenails out one by one.
You're not getting a hold to them. American.
No, there ain't no
civil
courts.
Rights shit like that. Not
man.
But you know what I mean?
I was surprised that you said they had a synagogue in that area.
Yeah,
so they actually had a lot surprised.
Of, people think about Russia and it's all this way running. If they have a shit ton of different religions.
Yeah.
And a lot of them get persecuted by the other ones that are there, but that's everywhere in the world. But large Jewish communities.
Where's the dude from Rocky Five when you need him?
Yeah, right.
I would break you. You would lose.
That's it.
Yeah. So hearts go out to the
craziness in the world, bro.
People in that area dealing with that. Well, we're going to bring you back across this side of the world, and we're going to get a Maryland. And a Maryland family is reeling after DNA evidence has linked a woman's ex-boyfriend to her mother's murder 23 years ago. It's been one hell of a day, that from Lauren Prier, who is Leslie Prier's daughter. He was my ex-boyfriend. Prier said that she dated Eugene Gligor, now 44, when she was about 15 years old, and their families knew each other. So they were kids back then. Leslie Prier was found dead in her home in Montgomery County's affluent Chevy Chase neighborhood. It blew my mind when I read that, but apparently that's an affluent neighborhood in Montgomery County. And that was on May 2nd of 2001, after she didn't show up for work that day, this according to the Montgomery County Police Department. Now, the police department has what they know, what they call a cold case department inside of it. And it's just these guys, and they just work cold cases. That's what they awesome. Do. So blood evidence from the scene was submitted to a lab for genetic genealogical DNA analysis earlier this month. And Gligor was identified as a match. Forensic genealogy helped get a name and DNA relation to whoever is linked to that victim. So Gligor was arrested by the U.S. Marshals Task Force in Washington, D.C., and has been charged with first-degree murder. Prier said she had never suspected him in her mom's murder, adding that she had to run in. She had run into him last year, actually spoke to him, and he didn't seem weird, and he wasn't acting like someone that killed my mother 23 years ago.
It's funny because people are like that, but you know, what does a killer look like?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you expect him to say, I'm nervous because I killed your mom.
Right. But nothing unusual about that meeting. And Gligor is currently awaiting extradition from Washington, D.C. to Maryland. Pretty crazy how this DNA, and especially this genealogic DNA, is really leading to solving a lot of these cold cases. This is 23 years ago.
Yeah, and we talked about like the Orthoran Labs, which is the leading one in that, in a lot of the stories, but you know, that dude walked away or got away with it for 23 years. It's 23 Christmases, 23 birthdays, 23 summers. And he just got away with it.
That's a long time to get away with something, man. Think about it, from the time you're born to the time you graduate college, basically.
Yeah, right. And
length of time.
I just love cold cases, and I love when these assholes finally get got.
And with this DNA stuff that they have now, Woody, especially the familia DNA, right, which they didn't used to have, you know, they could tie your blood to a crime scene if it was your blood, but now they're able to do it with your father's blood
cousin has it, and they track it down and track it backwards, which
pretty amazing.
That's an amazing discovery. I expect that DNA's going to continue to grow.
I would imagine.
And, I mean, I'm thinking from in like 93, I think it was the first court case from 91, when they had to prove that DNA was a reliable source to be used, and then how it's advanced over years, just amazing. Shout out to them for getting his ass, right?
And that's right.
I hate a fucking, you know, I hate a thief, and I always say I hate a thief probably worse than a murderer, but not a cold case murderer. Someone who gets away with it.
Yeah. Okay? This guy's been partying for 23 years.
Right, exactly. So, all right. You ever go to other cities and ride like the transit systems?
No.
Okay. So I've done it.
Not that I'm against it. I think all the cities I've been to just didn't have, or I wasn't there long enough.
I've done it. And especially when I used to work all the United States as a defense consultant, I would fly into the airports and take the Metro Transit, whatever. Like Chicago is a big one. I never rented a car in Chicago. Different place, New York City. And look, those Washington things, if you're not from there, that's a real some bitch to learn how to use, right? And then the people are just hordes of people all the time. Washington, D.C. Yes, I use
it. I had a friend, we were considering going to Washington, me and my wife, and I had a friend tell me you can go from the airport to your hotel, all with the transit system.
And I have. And so I used to say rental cars were the bane of my existence for the other cities that didn't have the transit systems. Because none of the rental car lots are on the airport base anymore. You got to park way the fuck 5 miles away and catch a bus back to the terminal after turning your shit in and all that. Yeah. So transit's a real deal, and I like them. But let me tell you, which, you know, a lot of crime happens on transit, right? Mm-hmm. And authorities in Los Angeles And most people don't think about Los Angeles as having metros, but the authorities in Los Angeles are searching for three suspects who shot and killed a man on a metro train on Friday night. Now, officials of the Los Angeles Police Department told Fox 11 News that around 7:40 p.m. on Friday, a man identified as Juan Garcia, 38 years old, was shot in the head and killed after getting into an argument with a group of men at the Metro E line stop at La Cienega, C-I-E-N-E-G-A, I'm sure I butchered that, and Jefferson Boulevards. But police said Garcia was pronounced dead at the scene, and authorities told Fox 11 that all three suspects were males between the ages of 15 and 20 and took off before police arrived. Now, according to a GoFundMe set up by Garcia's family, Juan, a.k.a. Tony, was a father of four and the oldest sibling of seven, which is huge, right?
Yeah.
And they said, it is with profound sadness that we share the news of the passing of our beloved Tony, who left us. My big bro was a protector growing up, strong like an ox. In our eyes, he was invincible. And as we navigate this difficult time, we are reaching out to our community to support, to give Tony G the dignified and heartfelt farewell he deserves. This is what the family wrote. Back in May, before this happened, the mayor and the Metro Board chair, Karen Bass, called for an immediate surge of law enforcement personnel across the transit system. That was passed and everything. But in March, there were nearly a million weekday riders in the metro system, right?
That's that don't surprise me. Yeah.
I've been thinking like Chicago. I was riding and I always sit in the back of the last car back to the glass. And it was a long ways in to the city. And you had different stops from the airports to where I was going. And I watched this group of teenagers come in, gang members, right, wearing red, the Bloods, and they're coming in and they're going up to each person, say, "Hey, man, give us some money for our baseball team. Give us some money for it." And they were getting closer and closer to me. And when they got up to me, said, "Hey, man, give us some money for our baseball team," I said, "Hey, man, 30-year homicide detective." And they turn around and haul ass. That's like we were talking about the parks last week and stuff. That's like, there's going to be certain areas that it can't be covered and all this train. Certainly they have transit police and they have cameras and whatever, but these bad guys know where those things are at.
Yeah.
And they shot this dude in the head and killed him for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Horrible. I have a problem with that type of transportation. You got to know when to ride them, I guess.
First cousins who lives in New York City, her kids, now this has been several years back, when they came up to visit us one time, her kids had never ridden in a car.
Yeah.
But they took the transit.
Yeah. Really, a lot of people in New York City don't have vehicles.
Yeah, They didn't have them.
They either walked to where they're going.
And they came out in the country like this, with these big-ass fields and trucks, and we ride, and then side-by-sides and everything, and their eyes were like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh. And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com /today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yeah. Well, speaking of New York City, we're going to bring you to New York City.
New York City.
I'm going to tell you about a mobster.
About a mobster.
Man who died last week after he was decapitated when a truck plowed into him, a garbage truck to be exact, while he was crossing the New York City street. He was identified as a former captain for the Genovese crime family. The New York Police Department said that the victim was identified as Antonio Conligliero. Conligliero, who was 86, went by Tony Cakes, or Tony the Dessert Man.
Right?
I swear, Tony the Dessert Man. He was a former acting capo, which is a captain for the Mafia family. He died when he was struck by a city department of transportation garbage truck in Brooklyn. He spent his life looking over his shoulder, but he forgot to look both ways before crossing the street, the police said. Wow, that's cold. Authorities said Conligliero was crossing the Dahlgreen Place against a don't walk sign in a marked crosswalk when a 31-year-old driver was turning on a green light and struck him. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver remained on the scene and no arrest had been made. Obviously, he was jaywalking. Conligliero, who worked for years in the wholesale cake business, sold sweets across the New York City area and ran an Italian ice and gelato stand in Little Italy. So, and look, those stands in New York, you can't just get those stands. You got to know somebody.
Somebody's getting paid.
Believe it or not, they make tons of money over there. He was accused by federal prosecutors in 2005 of being a soldier in the Genovese crime family and he worked as a loan shark for the family. He eventually copped a guilty plea to a racketeering charge for which he received a 13-month sentence. The former foot soldier was also arrested in 2006 on a grand larceny case. Conigliaro became successful in the dessert business after serving his prison time. He can make some cakes, I guess. Right. The Genovese family stands among the five families, an Italian-American syndicate that has long dominated organized crime in New York City. The other members are the Gambino, Lucchese, Bonanno, and Colombo families, and decapitated him.
Cut his head off.
That's a hell of a way to go, man.
Absolutely. Hopefully it was instant painless.
But it might have been, what do they call that? Something that he deserved? Maybe he decapitated somebody back in the day. Yeah.
The karma.
Karma, that's what I was looking for.
But, you
know,
you're talking about those stands and stuff. You know the history of it, the crime families and everything, how they started out in bootleg and what have you. But they try to go legal as you can over the years to get away from the illegal stuff. But think about this. If I was going to launder money, there's, you know, basically two types of business I would do it in. Nightclubs. Why? Because every time somebody rang up a drink, I would ring up 10 drinks.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
And there's a lot of cash business in a nightclub.
But I was saying, even if you're making money off of dope or whatever, or extortion or prostitution, you take that money and, you know, you got a legitimate bar, you'd ring up one drink, well, ring up 10. And then you pay the tax on that, it makes it legal. Same thing like these food stands and shit. Nobody's sitting there watching how many people. You might service 300 people that day. Say you service 900. You put your money in the till, you pay your taxes on it, it's good to go.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, just food for thought for all you budding criminals out there. hey, you know what? We get so many stories, Jim, every day from lifers, and I'm going to take a minute on this one. This is for you and I. But like Leah Marie and Alex Petrie, and I don't want to leave anybody out. The people that like legitimately send stuff every single day, which is awesome, and we appreciate it. But this one is from Leanna Bennett, who's from Salisbury, Missouri. She said, and I'll get into the story in a second. Just passing on the news for you, see link below. Thought it might be a good one, and I'll skip this part because it's about the story. So I thought this was newsworthy. I'll skip that part too. But on another note, I'm so thankful that you're on the mend. Woody, been praying for you, and I truly enjoyed listening to you and Jim. I laugh along with you and also share your frustration and sadness on those difficult stories. I appreciate all that you do. I'm a lifer for sure. So, Leanna Bennett, we love you. And we love all of y'all out there. And y'all send your stories in. We'll cover them. And I'm about to cover this one now. Look, this is legit. In Macon County, Missouri, I'm pretty sure I've driven through there. In Macon County, Missouri, five men were taken into custody Monday morning in northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing from her home in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old. The teen's father had last seen her getting in a black SUV and reported her missing to police in Indiana. Now, just before 2 a.m. on Monday, Missouri State Highway Patrol troopers were notified that the girl's cell phone was pinged going westbound on U.S. Highway 36. You would think these dumbasses would take her phone or turn it off. But a short time later, Shelbina police sergeant saw a black SUV with Texas plates heading west. Just before 2:30 a.m., a trooper saw an SUV matching the description and initiated a traffic stop in Macon County. The trooper looked in the vehicle and saw a juvenile in the back. She identified herself as the missing teen. And with help from the Macon County Sheriff's Office and Macon Police Department, the trooper took the following men into custody. Marlon Aguilar, 44, from the country of Honduras. Arturo, Istacuro, 41, from the country of Mexico. Noah Guzman Hernandez, 24, from the country of Mexico. Danielle Ruiz Lopez, 19, from the country of Honduras. And Carlo Fuentes, 56, from the country of Honduras. Now, authorities believe they were taking the girl to California, where she was to meet with an unknown man that she met on the internet. All five.
Sex drive.
Right, exactly. All five have been formally charged with one count of secondary kidnapping, which is a Class D felony, and first degree endangering the welfare of a child, which is a Class D felony. All right, a couple things. Shout out to those cops who were looking for it. Because, you know, you could just sit on the side of the road at nighttime and scare people, but you don't leave your radar on, so it sets off radar detectors or whatever, but you could be asleep. A lot of cops do that, right? Yeah. And they, look, I tell you, this one just popped in my head. I'm not going to say where it was, whatever, but I was working out of an apartment, and we got off at 6 o'clock in the morning. And one of the old-timers, you know, when it slowed down 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd go find a place to park his unit and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's just what it was. But you get off at 6 o'clock in the morning, you got to – we didn't have our own units at this place. You had to turn your unit back in and you go home. Well, at 6 o'clock, we're getting off. A boy's nowhere to be seen. And so they start calling him on the radio. He's nowhere to be found. Then it puts us in oh panic mode. And when they're driving to locate him, he just passed the fuck out of his car.
Holy smokes.
He's dead now, so I'm not going to say his name. But he was just sleeping. But back, these guys were being proactive. And they were able to track her and ultimately stop her and save her. And so I want to say to Leanne, this is what Leanna said about it. She said, I thought it might be a good one. Some vigilant law enforcement officer saved a 14-year-old girl near me in Missouri. She was kidnapped by five illegal immigrants in Indiana. I thought this was newsworthy. I'm grateful for the officers that kept an eye out for the vehicle and save this young lady from a lifetime of misery, as well as those working the case in Indiana. So I'm going to say this too. Somebody left us a 1-star review on Apple the other day, which, you know, I don't give a fuck about that. But it said, no, I think it was a 5-star. It was a 5-star, but it was a negative review. And it said that we were saying that our borders are wide open and that negates all the positive work that our Border Patrol agents are doing and ICE and all that. Let me tell you something, people. My father-in-law, who's now deceased, is a retired section chief for the whole southern part of Texas, for the Border Patrol, okay? Mm-hmm. I took the Border Patrol test. I was going to the Border Patrol, and that's a story for another day. I bleed blue, and I know those guys doing everything that they can do. Oh, and then they said the National Guard, too. I know the National Guard is down there doing everything they can do. The problem is you go ask any one of those, and they'll be the first ones to tell you they need more help, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's right. It's the fentanyl shit, and I'm not getting off political shit. I'm just saying – I think we should fucking find the countries that it was coming from and declare war on them and go in and have no rules and no restrictions to go in there and kill every motherfucker that's making fentanyl. So,
well, fentanyl comes from China.
Yeah, well, it's still coming through. I don't want to make war. Whoever's carrying it, they ought to be executed. They ought to make them roll around fentanyl. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me, related to your story you just told, let me tell you a personal story here. And I guess it'd be okay since my kids are above the age of 18 now. Right. But when my daughter was 15, one of my daughters, I have twin girls, my wife came to me one day and she says, there's a lot of phone numbers on her phone bill, on her cell phone bill that I don't recognize.
Right.
And they're from another city, another state. Mm-hmm. Huh. So we start monitoring this. We don't say anything at the time.
Right.
And it becomes more and more frequent. So we talk to my daughter, and she's talking to a quote-unquote boy, right, in another state. And this boy was 18. This is what we're told. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, that ain't okay either, but it gets way worse.
Right.
So I do a lot of investigation on my own, and I know how to dig shit up. And eventually I find out that this is a grown ass man who is in his 40s out of Chicago. Mm. And I was going to go to Chicago, but I stopped myself from doing that. And I made a phone call to him.
Yeah.
And he answered the phone And he talked with a voice as deep as mine. Uh-huh. And I let him know what was going to happen to him. And he hung up.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, this was a trafficker. Mm-hmm. And that's how they do this. Right. They make your kids think that they are young kids.
Right.
And meet them somewhere, and you never see them again. Right. And I thank God every day that I caught that my wife caught that when she did, because that guy was up to no good. Mm-hmm. So be very cognizant of that, and let your kids know that this is the game they play, because it happens every fucking day in this country.
And
every day.
Proud of y'all for catching that, because you're right. I mean, let's go back to what I talked about, bad pickup lines or whatever, the guy with the cameras, right? He only has to get lucky once. It's like these telemarketers that call you every day. And I say, oh, can you confirm your social security number for us? And I'm like, yeah, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right?
But if they try 1,000 people a day and they get one that gives them money, then it's a success.
That's
these
right.
child traffickers, they're fishing and they're catfishing, which is where you take on an assumed identity. You know, you lie about your identity to get whatever. And that's what happened. This 14-year-old girl was going to go meet some dude she had online connection with in California. But four illegal immigrants show up to pick her up. Yeah, they had her. So
scary.
Crazy.
Horrible.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip-up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and Bowood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
All right. Well, we'll lighten it up a little bit here. And we're going to go to Washington, D.C. And look,
I love D.C.
Most presidents, and I would almost say, I don't know if it's all of them, but the vast majority have had dogs, pets, right?
Like the White House dog.
The White House mascot, so to speak. And President Biden is no different. He has a dog, and his dog's name was Commander. And I say was because he has a new dog, and we're going to tell you why. So some reports had come out recently that President Biden himself has witnessed multiple attacks by Commander on the Secret Service.
Huh?
the people protecting the president. The dog don't like him too much. He was kind of ferocious, supposedly. The bites were actually so vicious that several agents had to make trips to the ER. Jeez. Multiple personnel shared that the attacks happened as Biden was walking the dog, with the president witnessing the incidents firsthand. One Secret Service member shared his encounter with Commander while Biden was taking his dog to the Kennedy Garden for an evening walk. He said, as I started to walk toward him to see if he needed help, Commander ran through his legs and bit my left arm through the front of my jacket. I pulled my arm away and screamed no. POTUS also yelled to Commander. POTUS then said, quit moving. I obliged, and Commander let me pet him. So when turning to close the door, Commander jumped again, bit my left arm for the second time. POTUS again yelled at Commander and attached the leash to him. My suit coat had three holes, one being all the way through. The chief of communications for the U.S. Secret Service said of another interaction with Commander, yesterday around 8 p.m., a Secret Service Uniform Division police officer came in contact with a First Family pet and was bitten. The officer was treated by medical personnel on the complex, and I'm not aware of any hospitalization. Believe it or not, all told, there are 24 separate reports of the German Shepherd. Jeez, it's a German Shepherd. Baby. Yeah, it ain't a Dachshund. Oh, although those can be vicious. Yeah. But a German Shepherd biting and attacking personnel. Being Commander. Commander's arrival at the White House came after Biden got rid of their prior dog, Major. Commander has now left the White House to live with other family members after the series of attacks. How about that?
That is bizarre.
Commander, get buck wild. Don't get, look, and I'm all for protecting your owner, you know.
But you say that's 24 that are reported, and they have to be reported because they had to seek medical attention. And think about all the ones the commander got after their ass.
Yeah.
They ran or whatever.
Sick commander.
And most people don't know the Secret Service really, the presidential or vice president or whoever's running for whatever, that protection detail is like the creme de la creme. But the majority of the Secret Service is uniform patrol.
Yeah.
And they protect the White House and they protect what have you. But that's the Congress and stuff like that. But they wear uniforms and a badge and what have you. So they have both at the White House. And that's what you were saying. One of them was
Uniform Patrol Division. Yeah.
And so, but you know, another thing, and I know you know this, but that Secret Service does that most people don't know?
What?
Counterfeiting.
I didn't know that.
I knew you knew that, but they are in charge. You out there and you print some counterfeit shit, Secret Service is coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
On top of the presidential details and, and whatever.
They certainly specialize
in VIPs and all that.
Yeah. You know, German Shepherds. And look, I had a great dog.
Yeah.
My German Shepherd I had when I was a kid was one of the best dogs I ever had. Yeah. But it would protect me in a heartbeat.
Well, I mean, that dogs do what dogs do. Many, many years ago, I raised golden retrievers. And these three fingers right here, you can still see the scars.
Yeah.
A fucking golden retriever tied up with another dog, and I went in to separate them. They were fighting, like trying to kill each other. I went in to separate, and that motherfucker bit my three fingers off. I had to have them sewed back on. Now here I am with another finger I cut off the other day slicing some brisket. But yeah, dogs got it in them.
Even little ones, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, my Dachshund.
My brother Dachshund. Had a Chihuahua, the meanest motherfucker you ever saw.
My Dachshund, if you ever do research on Dachshunds, they were actually raised to hunt badger.
Really?
That's how mean a Dachshund can be. They will go down a hole and tear a badger apart. So they got a lot of teeth.
Right.
And I play with mine all the time. She loves to play fetch and those sort of things. But a lot of times she'll like to get my hand in her mouth and she'll just not really bite it, but she's playing.
I love
it. It'll mark me up, man.
Yeah. Now we raise English Spring Spaniels, and they are so human. They'll like sitting on my lap, and I'm not looking at it. It'll paw me until I look at it, or they'll do that play bite to get your attention.
Yeah, put just enough pressure.
Where hey, Daddy, feel look it. At me.
Yeah,
and so interesting.
Yep.
The I hadn't heard of that. That's crazy. The
Dachshunds. That's why their bodies are so long.
Yeah.
So they can go down the holes to get the badger.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy story about that dog running around the White House biting the fuck out of people.
Commander. You mess with commander.
Fill out that report. You know,
they all hated y'all.
And man, for those of you who don't know, he said POTUS as the
president of the United States. Yeah.
And for a long time, I didn't know that until I was like watching like 24 or something. And they were like, we've got to protect POTUS. I'm like, who the fuck is POTUS?
But, there you go. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, sharing.
Yes.
And commenting.
If so inclined, go leave us a review on iTunes. And just appreciate y'all. And that's it.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.